last week, let's dive right into to what God has to say for us. See, last week, we were reminded that we can hear God. Let me say it again. We can hear God. We can hear him. We can hear what he's saying. He's speaking to his church, and we can hear him. The question that we were faced with last week is, are we positioned to hear him? Are we listening? Well, the Lord wants us to learn to listen for his voice because he's speaking. And what we're talking about in this series, This Is a Move, this isn't just theology. This isn't just a bunch of happy thoughts that we want to take in and go, oh, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, he's right. He connected that with script. That's coming from God's word. Okay, check. It's good. Now back to my life. No, this is real life. What God has us processing, this move that he has for us, his church, is reality. He wants us to embrace it, to hear it, to see it, to embrace it, and to walk in his move. So I want to ask you some questions here. Have you spent time this past week, you personally, examining your priorities? Maybe reorganizing your calendar a little bit. This is how we all do the calendar, right? Kind of moving some things around, maybe minimizing some of your activities, maybe getting rid of some, delete, right? Making room. Have you been making room and setting aside space, positioning yourself to hear the voice of God? Is there any other voice that's more important than the voice of God? There's not. So let's be those who are positioned to hear it, and we will. We will. God is speaking. This is a move. And it begins with hearing and listening to his voice. However, after we hear what God is saying, then what do? Do we run out in our own strength and get busy with what God is saying? That's not necessarily a good idea. What God wants us to do is he wants us to be those who are moved by the Spirit. And that's the title of today's message. He wants us to be a church, a people who are not moved with our own ideas, who are not moved by what is going on around us in our culture, who are not moved by our own strength and our own ability to, you know, pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. The Lord is looking for a church who's ready to be moved by the Spirit. That's a capital S. The Holy Spirit. This is a move. We're called to be moved by the Spirit. And one of the first things, as we're looking to be those people who are moved by the Spirit, one of the first things that we need to do is we need to set the sails. And now some of you have heard me use this analogy and tell this story before. But I think about it often when I think about following God, when I think about what it looks like to be ready for what God is doing in and through my life and in and through this church. If we're going to be moved by the Spirit, then we have to set the sails. Here's the story. When the great missionary Hudson Taylor went to China, he made the voyage in a sailing vessel. As it neared the channel between the southern Malay Peninsula and the island of Sumatra, the missionary heard an urgent knock on his stateroom door. Maybe that wasn't urgent enough. There we go. So he goes to his door, he opens up, there he finds the captain, and the captain of the ship says, "Mr. Taylor, we have no wind, and here's the problem. Not only are we not going anywhere, we're actually drifting into this island that's filled with heathens, and they're cannibals." And so Taylor asks the captain, he says, "Well, what do you want me to do about it? I'm just a passenger. What do you want me to do?" The captain says, "I understand that you believe in God, and I want you to pray for wind, because that's what we need right now. We need some wind." "All right, captain." Taylor says, "I'll pray, but first you need to set the sails." "I'll pray. I'll ask God to move. I'll ask God to intervene. But you need to set the sails." "That's ridiculous," replied the captain. There's no wind. My crew's going to think I'm crazy. We don't set sail. We don't raise the sails up until we have wind. They're going to think I've gone off the deep end. Well, Taylor was pretty insistent, and so the captain left, and he did exactly that. He set the sails of the ship, and Taylor proceeded to pray for wind. 45 minutes later, the captain comes once again, knocking on the stateroom door. Taylor doesn't answer it, and so the captain throws open the door to his room and finds him still on his knees praying for wind. And the captain said, hey, Mr. Taylor, please stop praying. We have all the wind we can handle. So the wind came. But first, the sails had to be set. Sure, they wanted, even this heathen captain who didn't even pray, just looking for somebody to pray, even he knew that they needed God to move and intervene in their situation. But first, they had to have the faith to set the sails and be prepared for this move. Church, this is a move. God is still blowing and moving on his church. This is a move. I think of it this way. God wants to blow on his church. He desires to move his church. He desires to use his church for his amazing kingdom purposes. He wants us to use us to push back darkness, to rip off the gates of hell, to see the lost saved. He wants to use us to lay hands on the sick and to see them miraculously raised, even the dead raised back to life. He wants to blow on and through his church in power. That's God's plan. But I believe the Lord is calling and waiting for his church to set the sails and to be prepared for his powerful move. Prepared. So again, this is a move. We're learning to listen, being faithful to follow. And after we hear what God is saying, we need to be moved by the Spirit. But we got to set the sails so that we can catch the wind of the Spirit. Check this out. I'm going to go to 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the whole earth, that he, speaking of God, that he may strongly support, I'll do the NEV version, that's the New Eric version, that he may powerfully blow. Y'all like the NEV version? I don't know. It's not in print, so don't, you know, anyway. Just go to what you got in your hands right now. Anyway, but anyway. So the Lord is looking to and fro throughout the earth. Why? So he can show himself strong, so he can powerfully blow on those whose heart is completely his. That's what God's doing right now. He's looking around for his church that's ready for his wind, that's ready for his move. In other words, God's looking for that church. He's looking for the believers that are prepared for him, that are trusting him so that he can show himself strong in them and through them. God is looking for people who have their sails set, those who are prepared and positioned by faith. It takes faith to put up the sails when there's no wind. But those who will set the sails by faith, prepare themselves for the move of God, these are the people who will catch the wind of the Spirit. These are the people that will be chosen by the Lord to partner with him in kingdom exploits and kingdom advancements right here, right now. Amen. And I want to be that person. I want to be that church. Amen. Come on, right? Amen. Amen. And I believe I am that person. I believe this is that church. I believe we are those people for such a time as this that are preparing ourselves, that are readying ourselves, that are setting the sails for God to blow and to move in us and through us. Why? So that we get goosebumps? No, although sometimes when the wind blows, you do get goosebumps. But that's not the reason. The reason for the move of God is to transform the very world that we live in and to see the lost saved. That's the ultimate purpose. Jesus strongly encouraged his disciples. It's found in Matthew 24, 42. He says, therefore, keep watch. The ESV says, therefore, stay awake. And that's, hey, I'm looking out there right now. Therefore, stay awake. Anyway, it's a joke. I'm going to just say, if you're super tired, like maybe you had to stay up late till 2 a.m. in the morning, Zane, to work, right? But he still showed up. He still showed up to run the sound. If you are so dead dog tired that you think you're going to fall asleep in church, I want to encourage you, still come to church. Amen. Still come to church. Because I believe this. Either the Lord's going to keep you awake, or he's going to let you have some really sweet rest in his presence and with us, all right? I'd rather have you here, and I think he would rather have you here too, all right? Was that grace-filled? I think so. Come on. Woo! God is good. Therefore, let's get back to Scripture. Matthew 24, 42. Therefore, keep watch. ESV says stay awake. The NASB says, therefore, be on alert. And the NEV, the New Eric Version, says, therefore, set your sails. Therefore, set your sails. Why? Because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. You don't know when the wind of the Spirit, when the presence of God is going to show up. We don't know. But I do know this. It's the ones whose sails are set that are going to receive the wind, that are going to receive what God has right then. Therefore, keep watch. Keep watch. It's the same thing. This is speaking of Jesus, of Christ's return too. And I'm telling you what, we got to be those that have oil in our lamps, that are prepared, that are positioned, that are ready, that have our sails set because he's coming back. He's coming back. That's exciting. This is a move. This is a move. Check this out. The Lord has given us methods and strategies for setting our sails and being prepared for his move. He's given us things right here. He's told us, here's how you position yourself for me to blow on you, for me to move you. Here's some of the ways. One of them is prayer. Prayer is a method and a strategy that he's given us, his church, to set the sails and be ready for his move. Think about this. The early church at Pentecost, they heard the word of the Lord, Jesus, who told them, hey, before you run off and get busy being the church, you go wait, and you pray, and you wait, and you pray, and there's going to be a move. There's going to be a move. So 120 of them go to this place, and they stay, and they pray, and they stay, and they pray. And on the 10th day, what happens? The windows, boom, the wind blows right through those windows. Tongues of fire come down on that church. There's a move. Their sails were set in the place of prayer, and they received a powerful move of God, and God is still moving that way. He is still moving through a people that will set themselves and prepare themselves in the place of prayer. He blows on his people of prayer. All right, so prayer is one way to catch the move of God, to set the sails, be positioned. Another way is getting the word of God. Get in the word of God. Be equipped with truth so that you will have the word of the Lord to speak at that right time. When he's ready to blow and move and change a person's life, and he's positioned you right in front of them, and you have positioned yourself with truth, with life, the words that bring life, look out because here comes a move. And he'll do the same thing with a whole church in a community. When we are grounded in truth, when we are serious about this book, about this sword of the Spirit. I'm kind of fiery today, man. I'm feeling kind of raw. I don't know, man. Anyway, come on. You got to wear this crazy Hawaiian shirt more often. I don't know. Anyway. Oh, reading the word, prayer, ways to set the sail. Other ways of setting the sail are fasting. We're doing 360 days of fasting right now as a church. We're setting the sails. We're positioning ourselves for the move of God. Fasting, worship. What we even did this morning earlier, Worship, coming together and exalting the name of Jesus corporately together, is setting the sails, is preparing for the move of God, for his him to blow in and through his church, through his people, setting the sails. There's often times when I'm not catching anything in the place of prayer. I know none of you are like that. You just go in prayer and like within 30 seconds, you're like getting downloads from the Lord. You're like, you know, whoa, right? I know none of you are like me. And sometimes you're laboring in the place of prayer. You know, and I shared this, I think, just a week or two ago. One of the ways that I start to set the sails in my own personal time of prayer is worship. I just go, you know what? Now, I play guitar, so I just go grab my guitar. You could just turn something on, put on something on YouTube or whatever. I just start worshiping the Lord. And it's like the sails go up and I start feeling the wind. I start hearing and knowing what God is doing from that place of prayer. And then that place of worship, and it just launches me from there on. Amen. In that time. It's a way to set the sails. Worship, serving others is a way to set the sails. Loving on other people is a way to set the sails and be ready for a move of God. Our involvement in these God-ordained supernatural practices positions us for the move of God. I know sometimes, you know, people will just talk about these activities of prayer and being in the Word and fasting and worship and like, yeah, whatever, because it's just really about me and Jesus or whatever. And I'm thinking, if you're not doing these things, the very activities that Jesus himself did to interact and to catch the wind of the Spirit and the voice of his Heavenly Father, if we think that we don't need to do that stuff because somehow we have some kind of advanced degree in theology now, you know, 2,000 years later, we think, oh, well, we're crazy. We're crazy. More than ever, we got to be people of prayer, pursuing God, loving others. That's the vision statement for this church. More than ever, we got to be people who are serious about the Word of God and equipped with truth more than ever. Fasting and praying. Fasting seems crazy. It's powerful. But I did it once. It didn't seem like anything happened. Well, I talked to my kids once, and they didn't do it. It didn't seem like anything happened when I talked to them, too. But I kept talking to them. I didn't give up. Position ourselves. Positioning ourselves. Listen, when we gather together on Sundays to worship, to fellowship, and to hear his word together, we are setting the sails for the move of God. Right now, this morning, we are setting the sails for the move of God. When we gather together on Wednesday nights to pray, we are setting the sails for the move of God. And I want to invite you to join me this Wednesday. Every Wednesday is special, by the way. And every Wednesday, we don't know what's going to happen. Sometimes it's just laboring in that place of prayer. Sometimes it's like, wow, God just showed up. Somebody got healed. I mean, what, you know, but this Wednesday, we are going to be moving our prayer meeting from our prayer room that we've been praying in to our chapel. That's going to be the first thing that we're going to open in our move of opening up the whole building, the place of prayer. The first thing that we're going to officially do in the front of this building is what? Gather together and pray. That's the first official gathering that we're going to have in the front building there. That's it. We've been laying some groundwork to be ready for that. I want to invite us, come together. Let's advance. Let's move with God and launch from that place of prayer together. So that's Wednesday at 6:30 in the chapel, and you get into the chapel by going through the front door of the building. Like you can walk through the front door for the first time. How about that? That alone. And then afterwards, after the prayer meeting, I'm just going to do kind of a walk around with whoever wants to stay and kind of a vision, kind of here's what God might be saying right now about the space, and you'll get a chance to kind of see in every nook and cranny. All right? So that's Wednesday, 6:30 this Wednesday. Listen, when we open the doors, our doors to the homeless, we're setting the sails. For the move, we're preparing ourselves, positioning ourselves for God's move. It's not just some activity. It is a preparation. It is a setting of sails for the move of God. When we gather in life groups, when we do life together in transparency, in love, in grace. We are setting our sails for the move of God. You want your sails set. You want to catch what God is doing and how he wants to move you. I encourage you, get involved in a life group. We all need that. God moves when we gather together in those ways. When we gather on Tuesday mornings and Sunday nights, when the men gather in their prayer and their study times, we're setting the sails for God to move. When we respond to the call for the 360 days of prayer and fasting, we're setting the sails for the move of God. When we position ourselves individually in our personal time of prayer and worship and study, we are setting the sails of our life for the Spirit of God to move us into His will and His calling. It's the real deal. These activities prepare and position us to receive the wind of the Spirit. They prepare and position us to hear the voice. It's hard to hear the voice of God if your life doesn't have ongoing prayer and time in His Word. And it's hard to hear the voice of God if you're not gathering together with your brothers and sisters who the Spirit speaks through to you. Maybe you feel like your life is just drifting along. Maybe it's even been drifting into dangerous waters. Maybe you feel like you're spiritually stale or stagnant. Every once in a while, I even feel like I'm getting in that place. I'm just like, oh, it's like walking through mud or something from time to time. We get there. Do you need God to blow on you and move in you? And let's together as a church family, let's determine to set the sails, to position ourselves, to be faithful to positioning ourselves and preparing ourselves for the release of His amazing grace. So we got to set our sails and be moved by the Spirit. But setting our sails is the first step. We also have to be willing to be carried by the Spirit, carried along by the Spirit, as we see in Scripture many times. So we set our sails, we position ourselves, but then we have to be willing to receive the wind. And let the wind move us. Let the Holy Spirit move us. It requires humility. Requires faith. We got to be willing to weigh anchor. Eliminate all that hinders us from moving with God. Now I want to shift analogy. So we've been on the ship and the sail and the wind and all that. We're going to stay with the wind, but we're going to change analogies just a little bit. And we're going to talk about air balloons. And this is a word that one of our board members, Jim Berry, was sharing, and I'm going to elaborate on it, and I'm going to take some liberties with it, Jim. So anyway, I know it's hard to improve on, but I'm going to give it a shot, okay? So we're going to look at air balloons. You see, leading a church, living the Christian life, is like flying an air balloon. It's not like flying an airplane. It's not. I know we got a lot of people who love to fly an airplane because you can, but it's not. With a hot air balloon, the only control you have is to go up or down. The only control you have is, am I going to let myself fly or am I going to stay on the ground? That's what we have. That's the choice. If you choose to go up, you got to release the ropes. You got to jettison the sandbags. You got to eliminate those things that are holding you on the ground. You got to be willing to let those things go. And then what happens? You find yourself going up. Remember that movie Up? Up? Anyway, just came to my mind. I don't know why I had it, didn't have it earlier. I would have given a picture of it. Y'all like it anyway. So you jettison all the sandbags. You cut the ropes. You untie the ropes. And you start going up. And at that point, what happens? You begin to catch the prevailing wind currents. Not the wind currents that you created, because you don't create the wind. And you don't direct the currents. You catch the prevailing wind currents, those that are already blowing. And when you catch those wind currents, you're not going to be able to steer. You can't go to the left or to the right. You're no longer in control of the outcome. But what you've done is you've taken those first steps of faith to allow the wind, those currents, to move you instead of staying still where you were. John 3, 7 and 8, and I don't have a slide for this, guys. Just got this morning. I wanted to share it. John 3, 7 and 8 says that the wind blows where it wishes. You hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. This is just what the Christian life looks like. It's being carried by the Spirit. And how do we do this? We have to eliminate those things that are holding us back. And we have to be willing to release control to the prevailing wind, to the prevailing current, to the Holy Spirit, to the move of God. After all, when we fly in a hot air balloon, like Jesus said, recorded in John here, you can't see the wind. Oh, you can hear it. You can see the effects of the wind happening. But you can't see where it's coming from. You can't see where it's going. You might have a general understanding of the direction, but you don't know the final destination where that wind is going to take you. Are you okay with that? Are you okay flying in a hot air balloon and letting the prevailing wind of the Holy Spirit carry you to the destination that God has for you? Or do you continue to insist to fly an airplane? Some of you are flying a jet airplane. I mean, you're like, you're ready to go, and you're going to go your direction. You're going to get there and probably drop a few bombs on the way. It feels good to be in control, we think, right? But you're going to end up wherever you go, wherever you're able to take yourself. I want to go where the prevailing wind of the Spirit is blowing. That's where I want to end up. It seems dangerous to live this way. Seems dangerous to fly in a hot air balloon. I don't like heights so much, so I'm not a fan. I've never been up in one. I really don't have plans to go up in a hot air balloon, and I really don't have plans to jump out of an airplane. Some of y'all are crazy. I don't have plans to do that. But I'm told that when you're up in a hot air balloon and in that current, in that prevailing current, that wind, that there is actually stillness because you're just going with it. It's not blowing against you. You're just going with it. There's silence and there's peace. There's a man who chose to be carried by the Spirit. His name is Simeon. It says this in Luke 2, beginning verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. And I don't want to run past that. As I was looking at this later in the week, I think those are two very important words. This man, Simeon, who we're going to see, was carried by the Spirit. He was righteous and devout. He was in right standing with God. He was set apart for the Lord. He was devoted to positioning himself in front of the Lord for the purposes of the Lord. He was righteous and devout. And what was he doing? He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The consolation of Israel is not like a consolation prize. It's what Israel is looking for, the Messiah. He was waiting for Jesus to show up. This is an old man that should have passed away already, but he continued to wait for Jesus. And the Holy Spirit was upon this righteous and devout man. Verse 26, it had been revealed to him, to Simeon, by the Holy Spirit. Notice, he was obviously positioned, being righteous and devout. He was positioned to hear what God was saying. And so it was revealed to him by God, the Holy Spirit, what? That he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And then verse 27 says, moved by the Spirit. Okay, so he's hearing the Spirit. He's hearing God because he has ears to hear. He's positioned as being righteous and devout, devoted to be positioned before the Lord. So he's hearing through the Spirit what God is saying. And now he's being moved by the Spirit. It's one thing to hear the Spirit. It's another thing to be moved or carried by the Spirit. It's one thing to hear go up in the hot air balloon. It's another thing to throw the sandbags out and let yourself start going up. Okay, so Simeon hears what the Spirit is saying, that he's moved by the Spirit, verse 27. He went into the temple courts. When the parents, Jesus' parents, brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what was the custom of the law required, Simeon, check this out, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God. That's pretty awesome. I mean, y'all have really cute kids. There's a lot of cute kids in this church that are fun to hold and all that kind of stuff, to take up in your arms and hold and all that. But Jesus, anyway, that's awesome. Simeon got to do this. Because Simeon was a man that allowed his life to be carried by the Spirit, he didn't miss God. Because he allowed himself to, he didn't fly the airplane anymore. Because he allowed himself to be carried by the Spirit, he didn't miss God. Instead, he encountered his Messiah face to face and even embraced him. That's spectacular. So I want some of that, right? So like Simeon, let's be those who live lives that are truly carried, not by the circumstances of life, not by what everybody else is doing, not by fear. Come on now. I had a phone call to make yesterday, a non-church matter. I had a phone call to make. I make all kinds of phone calls. I got to deal with all kinds of situations, right? And I don't know what it was. This was not that big of a deal. And I was like paralyzed by fear to get on the phone because I wanted a certain answer. And I was actually afraid that I might not get that answer, so I wasn't making the call. That makes no sense. I can't control the answer. I can pray and ask God to intercede and to move that person and come on, right? But why am I afraid to make the call? Anyway, that's another thing. Whew, I had to go through a whole ministry process, deliverance and all that on my own self just to make that phone call. But I got there. I made the phone call, and it was great. Praise God for that, right? So we want to be those who are not carried by fear or circumstances or laziness, but are carried by the Spirit and thus seeing God face to face. This is a move, church. This is a move. Finally, when we are moved by the Spirit, we find ourselves positioned for purpose. Set the sails. Allow yourself, get in that hot air balloon, allow yourself to be carried by the Spirit. Let go of the controls of the jet airplane you've been flying in your own life. Let yourself be carried by the Spirit, because when you do, you're going to be positioned for purpose. We're going to go to Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37, beginning in verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me. This is Ezekiel speaking. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out. How? By the Spirit of the Lord. So God was, he was positioned for God to be all over him. And the Holy Spirit did what? He brought him out, and he set Ezekiel, it says, he set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. Verse 3, he asked me, son of man, can these bones live? I said, oh, sovereign Lord, you alone know. And then he said to me, that's a good answer, by the way, if God asks you a question. You know, a lot better than I do. Amen. So Ezekiel's like, hey, he's a pretty sharp guy. So he says, son of man, he says, oh, sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, Ezekiel says, he said, the Lord said to him, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. The Holy Spirit moves us, he carries us, and he positions us for a purpose. Positioning Ezekiel for a purpose in this vision. And like Ezekiel was moved by the Spirit, and he was placed in this valley of dry bones, a place of spiritual dryness and death. That's the picture here. He's placed, moved by the Spirit. Ezekiel, this man of God, is put in a place of dryness. He's put in a place of death. Spiritual dryness, spiritual death. And so, as the Spirit places Ezekiel in a place of dry bones, so we are also being moved by the Spirit into the heart of our community, a place that frankly is filled with a lot of dry bones. And like Ezekiel, we are positioned and we are empowered to speak. Notice what God told Ezekiel to do. Prophesy to the spiritual dryness. Prophesy to those, to your nation, to your people who are spiritually dry, who have nothing in them, that are dead spiritually. Speak to them. Didn't say criticize them. Didn't say kick them. He said prophesy to them. Speak to them. And just as Ezekiel did, we are empowered and we are called, even commanded, to speak to these dry bones in our community, in our time, in our space, and share Jesus with the lost and call forth life. We're being positioned for a purpose as we're allowing ourselves to be carried by the Spirit because we've set our sails. Awesome stuff, man. We are being moved by the Spirit. Why? So we can push back death that's all around us. We're being moved even right now as a church, closer into our community, getting more up close and personal with our neighbors. The Lord is beginning to give us strategies, but we're only seeing the first little thing. So if you come and you ask me, so what's the 5-10-year plan? God knows. Talk to God. Like Ezekiel said, okay, God, you know, you're sovereign, right? I don't know all that, but we're seeing the next step. We're going to talk about that next week in the sermon. But we're moving out closer into our community. Even as we brought the community into this place last Sunday night, when we showed that documentary Con Dios that Tab did, it was amazing. It was incredible. How many of you were here for that? Awesome, awesome. About half the room almost. It was the gospel message, clear as can be. And it's a picture of speaking life to dry bones. That's what happened last Sunday night. We're positioned not just to be comfortable. We're positioned to rip the gates of hell off their hinges. Yes, amen. We're positioned to tear down those walls that are keeping people lost in darkness so that they will experience and encounter the light of Christ Jesus. We are being positioned, carried, moved by the Spirit for a purpose, and it's a big kingdom purpose to bring freedoms to the captive. Position for God-sized kingdom eternal purposes. So I want to ask you, do y'all perceive that? Yes. Do you perceive that's what God's doing? He is. He is. We're positioned for a purpose. And do you understand that in your own life? Yeah. People ask often, hey, would you pray for me? I'm looking for a new job. I want a new job. And I want to pray for the person to get a good job that pays well. And I think it's okay for God's people to be paid well for a good hard day's work. But one thing I really pray when I pray for people is that they would be positioned, that the Lord would position them exactly where he wants them to bring his kingdom, to be the salt and light. And so I want to let you know, you are not just by accident where you are if you're out in the workplace or at school or shopping or in a neighborhood. You're not just there by accident. You are positioned for purpose. This is a move. Your position, set the sails. Allow yourself to hear the voice of God and be carried by the Spirit and bring the presence of God and the kingdom of God right where God has positioned you. That's a very exciting way to live. Very exciting way to live. Position for purpose. At Evident Life Church, we've set the sails. Being carried by the Spirit, we're positioned. This is a move. I want to invite the worship team to come out. So let's interact with this word that the Lord has given us. As excited as I was about sharing this word, I'm more excited about what can happen right now as we humble ourselves and are willing to respond to what God is saying and wanting to do in us and through us. Is the desire of your life to be moved by the Spirit, positioned for purpose by the Holy? Is that the desire you have for your life? To be one who flies in a hot air balloon instead of in a jet airplane? I know it seems backward, but that's the way of the kingdom. Is that your desire? Maybe you haven't really set your sails. Maybe you're just kind of going through life and letting life take you wherever life takes you. Letting culture take you wherever culture takes you. That's a bad place. A bad place. Maybe you really aren't allowing the Holy Spirit to carry you to the destination that He has for you. Or maybe you're just in a place where you're kind of fighting the prevailing current of the Spirit moving you. And you want it, but you want it kind of this way, and it's this battle. Man, we all get there, right? This constant battle between the flesh and the Spirit. Maybe you're there some degree in your life. Maybe you just don't feel positioned for the purposes of God. If you're a child of God, God has wind for you. He has wind for you. And He has a destination for you. And He has purposes and plans for your life. He wants to put you on the court and give you the ball. Maybe you're still holding on the reins, not releasing control. I want to ask you to stand up here. Let's stand up, church. I want to use this time right now, even as the worship team starts to sing. I want to use this time to respond to the Lord, to set some sails. You know, we can again, just hear something and say, wow, that was really good, and walk out of here and just kind of keep going on with life. Or we can take this moment right now and say, you know what, God? I'm ready to set my sails. I'm ready to let go of control. I'm ready to cut the cords here and jettison the sandbags and everything that's holding me back. I'm ready to step into really allowing You to move me. Allowing You to be Lord in everything. Maybe you're a long way from that, but today you're ready to let God be in control and move you. You're ready to be moved by the Spirit. To join what God is doing. And maybe you're already part of it, but you're struggling. Maybe things feel stale or stagnant. And you need God to blow a fresh wind all over your life. But you just don't know how. If you're a child of God, you can hear His voice. And you can position yourself even right now to hear His voice. And now I know we can just stand in the same place and do business with the Lord. But I'm kind of a man of action, and so I'm pastor, and so I get to kind of pastor us in this way. And that I think that taking physical action and actually physically moving is important. And so if you're ready for God to move more, if your desire is for God to move more in your life, which means God having full control, and positioning yourself for God to do what God wants to do, I want to invite you just to come forward as an act of faith to set your sails. To set your sails. And when you get here in the front, you don't need to be listening to me anymore. I want you to put your focus on the Holy Spirit. I want you to position your heart and your mind right now to hear the very real voice of the Lord. Let the Spirit speak to you. Let Him speak.